From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. 45 years ago this week, a company called Atari Incorporated got started. It changed the history of video games and Americans' ideas about personal computing. Today, that company doesn't look anything like it did when it was born. After a big gaming industry crash in the early 80s, the company was sold and split again and again. Gamers these days are much more familiar with names like Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, but earlier this month, we got a mysterious announcement suggesting that Atari was getting back into the video game console business. Well, to mark the anniversary of the original and to anticipate Atari's rumored return, we called Michael Z. Newman. He's author of Atari Age, The Emergence of Video Games in America. Michael, what would we be missing if we removed Atari from video gaming history?
Oh, gosh. People bought Atari for the home, for their kids, and for their families. It gave them a way of accessing some of the most popular arcade games at the time, like Space Invaders, Pac-Man. So they really domesticated video games and made them part of a lot more people's daily lives.
What about for a non-gamer, someone who has no interest in video games, doesn't play video games? Could you make an argument to them that Atari has still impacted their life?
Well, it certainly impacted the history of American pop culture of the last 40 years. For people coming of age at the time, in some ways it was like Beatlemania or something like that, which is a youth culture, pop culture craze that defines a generation.
Yeah. Did it define you?
It did. I love those games. I'm 45 years old, so the same age as the medium of video games.
Could one make the argument that Atari also had an impact on the era of personal computing?
Oh, for sure. You know, a lot of people bought a computer thinking it would be good for the family to have. They'd learn how to use this essential new technology of the information age. But they didn't really know how to use one yet. They bought a computer to learn how to use a computer. But they could play games on the computer, and a lot of the early home computers were used to play versions of arcade games.
What is Atari doing right now? I was actually surprised to hear about this Atari box, this new console. And I was also surprised to know that there was still a CEO of Atari. What is Atari? What kind of company is it right now?
It's been sold a number of times. You know, Nolan Bushnell, the entrepreneur who started the company, sold it to Warner Communications, Inc. in 1976, and it's been sold a number of times since then. But there's such a strong appeal for these, the old games. I mean, they've never really gone away. They can be played in lots of different ways.
Michael Z. Newman, he's the author of Atari Age, The Emergence of Video Games in America. Michael, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we got a quick video game quiz for you. I'm going to play you some Atari 2600 video game sounds, and you are going to tweet the game names to me. I'm at The Brock Johnson. Do it right, and I'll give you like so many props on the air this week. You ready? Here's an easy one. Okay, a little bit harder. And the coup de grace. Which video games did you just hear sounds from? Tweet me your answers for the promised props on the radio. I am at The Brock Johnson. Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is in the final week of fundraising before our books slam closed for the year. We are asking you to step up and help support us today so we can continue our in-depth, independent economic coverage. The kind you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month counts. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate. Identifying yourself effectively and unequivocally on the internet is probably one of the greatest challenges of the internet age. We make passwords, we do the I am not a robot captchas, we answer questions about our mother's maiden names, we even have biometric fingerprint hardware built into our phones. Well, there's a company called BioCatch that is doing something kind of interesting. It's using your online behavior to identify you, to do everything from differentiate humans and bots, to catch hackers, to fight fraud. A.L. Goldwerger is the CEO of BioCatch, and he's here to chat. Thanks for talking.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
How does your software work?
We will look at things like the curvature of your mouse movement, the cadence of your keystroke. In mobile, we will look at what angle you hold your phone and what is your swiping pattern and how you press on the phone. Looking at all those physical attributes helps us build a behavioral profile that identifies you. And if we see an anomalous behavior in an online session, without the user needing to take any action, we can automatically alert whoever is providing the banking service, for example, we work with banks, that's a great example, that somebody is fraudulently trying to access your legitimate account.
This is crazy. So this is individualized tracking of online behavior in order to provide more security?
I think that is very accurate.
Are there certain things that bots do that people don't do in terms of how bots click on things and swipe things and things like that?
The answer is absolutely yes, and we can easily detect that. But we can do much more than that. We can even detect that the wrong human being is taking over your account.
Isn't it just a matter of time before the hackers and the bots they create figure out how to mimic this? This is part of the constant cat and mouse game, right?
You do things that are subconscious, that are subliminal. You may scroll down a page at a certain speed, and you may navigate between fields using either the tab or the mouse button, or you may scroll down a web page using the scroll bar on the browser or the scroll on a wheel on your mouse or the arrow keys. All of those things are extraordinarily elaborate and unique, and all of those are things that simply cannot be copied.
Wait, if they can't be copied, though, how can you know them?
That is the magic of what we do. So you actually need to not just know the data, you need to know how to interpret it. And that is not available just by observing somebody's behavior.
How do you make money?
We sell our software, our technology to typically large financial service companies that want to protect their customers. So we can provide that added layer of security to say that the way that the person interact with the online form suggests a criminal intent.
Eyal Goldwerger is CEO of BioCatch. Eyal, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.